Book of John, chapter 9. This is an incredible story, an amazing story, and how God works in a person's life the same way he wants to work in your life and my life. How many of you have it in front of you? John chapter 9. Can you say amen if you have it? Can you say amen if you have it? How many of you don't have it? You don't have it. Okay, so when the service is over, I want you to get a Bible and make it yours and bring it to church when you come every week. If you don't have one, we have Bible for you. And make it yours, and when you come to church, you bring it. When you read it, when you do your devotions in the morning, you read from your Bible. Does that make sense? Because this is what we do. This is how we live. Does that make sense? Maybe you have a Bible, you left it at home. It's all good. But if you don't have one, if you have a Bible, you left it at home, don't get a Bible from us here. Your Bible is at home. Just bring it next time. But if you don't have one, we have one for you. Book of John, chapter 9. It says, as he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus. But this happened so that works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. After saying this, he spit on the ground and made some mud with the saliva and put it in the man's eyes. Go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? Some claimed that he was. Others said, no, he only looks like him. But he himself insists, saying, I am the man. How then were your eyes opened? They asked. He replied, the man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash, so I went and washed, and then I could see. Where's this man? They asked. He said, I do not know. Father, we come before you this morning in the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus. And we pray that by your Spirit, Lord, that you will bring revelation knowledge into our lives, that you help us see those things that we have yet seen, Lord, that you will fill our hearts, Lord, with your Spirit this morning, and you will elevate every life in Jesus' mighty name. And the people of God say amen and amen. Come on, give the Lord a big hand clap. Give your neighbor a high five before you seat it. Say, neighbor, I'm glad you're here this morning. Come on, turn to your other neighbor and say, I'm glad you're here this morning. You know, this story of the blind man is a very different story. Now, when a person is blind, and I'm speaking in the natural for a moment, society kind of categorized them in a whole different category, in a sense, because they're not able to work, to produce, to study, all things being equal, if you know what I'm saying. This is a very society as we know it, really takes care of a person that is unable to see. Interestingly enough, I saw a guy here living in Santa Barbara. This is how life is sometimes. That he was completely blind, absolutely blind, but he worked because life was such, has put him in such a state that even though he was not able to see with his natural eyes, he used to work with his father in the landscaping business. And I asked him, how do you do this? And I was just being very sincere because I was in awe. And he said that his father will drop him in certain areas and kind of describe the area to him. And he will get behind the lawnmower and mow the lawn. This is how life is. But in this instance, Jesus is speaking about a blind man. Hear me out. But he's also speaking about people that have no vision in their lives. Because the Bible says that without vision, people perish. When a person is unable to see what God sees in their lives, what God sees about you, what God sees in your life, when a person is unable to see, therefore they're unable to follow. And when it comes to their lives, they can go through life and live what we can call a successful life. However, their lives will have no significance in the eyes of God. Can I get an amen? Can you turn to your neighbor and say, I can see. Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus spat on the ground and he created some mud. In other words, he departed from the norm. He did something new. The same way that God wants to do something new in your life. Say, God is doing a new thing. You know, it's interesting how this story begins, because at the very beginning, they asked Jesus, who sinned, him or his parents? In other words, they opened the door of victimhood. In other words, the door of victimhood says, I am the way I am because of my parents, because of my baby mama, because of my baby daddy, because of my parents, because of my job. You ready? Because of Trump. It's always that victim mindset is always blaming others. In other words, I am. Watch. Ultimately, the victim mindset, you ready? Blames God. I am the way I am because this is how God made me. Ultimately, the victim mindset says, I cannot change, because if God makes you a certain way, how in the heck are you going to change? Isn't that crazy? If God makes you ready? An angry person. God made me angry, so I can never. That is not true. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Imagine, watch, you ready? Imagine that a person that thinks that, you know, I like the honeys like me, you know, I'm a player. God made me a player. Remember, a guy came to me and said, Pastor, before I surrender my heart to Jesus, I used to have a girl in every town on the coast. I said, brother, please. I said, with Jesus now, you can even get one girl. Say, oh, Jesus. Say, God wants to restore our ability to see and to dream. God wants to restore your ability to see and to dream. Everything hinges there. Hear me out. This is more critical than what many people think, because the Bible says that without a vision, people perish. Without seeing what God sees in your life, you will go through the motions of life, but you will miss the boat altogether. Pastor Cesar Castellano says, dreams are the language of the Holy Spirit. Can we read that together? God wants to deposit a dream in your heart, a vision. He wants you to see those things that you have yet seen in your life. So today, I'm going to talk to you for about the next few moments, not long, about some things that God wants us to see. Number one, God wants you to see past your emotions, your feeling, your logic, and your current state. God wants you to see beyond your emotions, your feelings, your logic, your current state. Hear me out. You can never attach a miracle, never attach your Christian walk to logic, emotions, and feelings. If you attach your walk, if you need a miracle from God and you attach that miracle to logic, you're going to live a disappointed life. Because God operates outside of the realm of feelings. Don't you realize that at times your feelings trying to overtake your life? Your feelings trying to overtake you. Have you ever experienced that? Have you ever said something that you wish you didn't? In a moment of anger, you got angry and your feelings got a hold of you, and you say something, and as soon as the words left your mouth, you're like, what in the? You're trying to grab him slow motion. Oh. Feelings and emotions. Have you ever woken up feeling a little bit funky? With a little attitude. Can I get an amen? Amen. See, this is your feelings and emotions, your logic trying to arrest you. And if your feelings, emotions, and logic, they get a hold of your heart, you are in the realm of the feelings. And the realm of the feelings is not the realm of faith. And faith is the victory. You need to be in the realm of faith in order to have victory in life. That's what feelings are so strong sometimes. And we get strong feelings. You ready? And strong opinions about certain things in life. And guess, God wants to sit in the throne of my heart, but I allow my feelings and emotions to sit in the throne of my heart. And I get confused. You ready? And I think I am my feelings. You possess feelings. Come on, touch your neighbor and say, you possess feelings. Say, you possess emotions, but you're not that. You're not your feelings. You're not your emotions. You see, your emotions are trying to master. My feelings are trying to dominate your life, my life. They're trying to get a hold of me. They're trying to invade. No, I'm not my feelings. I'm not my emotions. I'm not my excuses. I'm none of that. I got to learn. You ready? To take control. Authority over my emotions and feelings. Do you know that whatever, just bear with me for a moment. Whatever you allow in your life, God will allow it in your life. Whatever you permit in your life, God will permit in your life. If you're addicted to nicotine and you allow that in your life, God will say, go right ahead. If you're addicted to drugs and you say, this is what I'm going to do the rest of my life, God will say, go right ahead. Whatever you permit in your life, whatever you allow in your life, God would allow in your life. That's the way it is. I'll prove it to you. The Bible says that he has given me and you the kingdoms. And he says, whatever you bind in earth, I will bind in heaven. Whatever you loose in earth, I will loose in heaven. In other words, whatever things that I decide to do, I can do. But whatever things I decide I cannot do, I will not be able to do. So I have to learn how to take authority over my feelings. Because like I told you many times, there's nothing wrong with waking up one day depressed. There's something wrong staying there and thinking that's okay. There's nothing wrong going through life and feeling discouraged. It's a big problem to stay discouraged and to think that's normal because society says, you're not ready for this. Society says to you, hey, that's just the way it is. You got to accept it. You got to take it. And let me prescribe you this. You're playing with the wrong guy. In the last service, a girl that sat here, she came to me some years ago. She came to me after the service some years ago. And she said, she was here in the last service. And she came to me and she said, Pastor, here's my last pill. She told me this years ago. And she said to me, I want you to pray over it because I don't want to take this pill ever again. Something that she was prescribed by some doctor. And we pray. You know, to be honest with you, I even forgot about that. And some years later, we were talking. We prayed that day, but I forgot. We just prayed in faith and move on. And she came to me years later, and she said to me, Pastor, remember that day you prayed for me? I said, sure, I remember. And she said, that's the last time I took that pill. Hallelujah. Hear me out. So pause, and hear me out. If you're in some medication, I'm not knocking anything. You just hear me out. I'm not saying, oh, you're less than. No. Well, you do everything you do in order to get. What I'm saying is so when God steps in, hear me out, something changes. When God steps in, when you sell out, when you apply the word has the ability. You're playing with the wrong guy. The word has the ability. The word has the ability. The word has the ability to change you. You know, my daughter sent me a video of this psychiatrist, Tara. This is crazy. She sent me this video years ago. This psychiatrist, and this psychiatrist was saying, he says, that a psychiatrist is the only how many of you heard me say this? Okay, good. Let me sound smart. I was researching. So he says, I am the only doctor that never looks at the organ, the brain, that I'm treating. I said, well, that makes sense. You have problems with your heart. The cardiologist, they do an echogram or whatever. They want to see your heart. You got problems with your back. Let's do an MRI. Let's look what's in there. He says, but I treat people's brain. He's a psychiatrist, but I never look at the brain. So he did a study, and he compared about 8,000 MRIs. And he's trying to determine activity in the brain. You're not even ready for this. Activity in the brain. What causes some people, certain things that we go through traumatic experiences at times. That create imbalance in the chemistry of our brain, that scar our brain sometimes, I told you the same thing. I tell you, you got nice hair and your body reacts a certain way and you blush. Then I tell you, except you, but I just kidding. I just said that. So I said, hey, Bonnie, you got nice nails today. So Bonnie, hey, hears that. The words that I speak cause a reaction in her mind and she blushed. Can I get an amen? But sometimes we get traumatic experiences in life. Stuff happens that our brain reacts a certain way, and the chemicals of the brain, they get adjusted and sometimes causes damage. Hear me out. So this guy analyzed 8,000 brain scans, and he began to explain football players. And he says, I'm giving you this one for free. I'm charging you for this one. He says, based on what I've seen out of the 8,000 scans, I will never allow any of my children to ever play football because of the damage, the potential damage in the brain. But I'm giving you that one for free. So he discovered that certain activity of the brain dies and certain activity of the brain gets ignited. So at the end, he says, you ready? This guy's not he's not a believer. He's a secular doctor. So at the end, he says, I discover that certain things that you can do because live, certain areas of the brain, the activity diminished, the electrical activity diminished, the blood flow diminished because of traumatic experiences, blah, blah, blah. So he said, I discover certain things that help you. You ready for the first one? Surround yourself with the right friends. I promise you, I'm not making this up. He said, like the Bible says, bad company corrupt good morals. He says, number one, surround yourself with the right people. Because if you hang out with a bunch of clowns, come on. You're going to be in the circus. Number two, you ready? Speaking positive words over yourself. Oh, my gosh. Speaking words of life. The Bible says, by your words, you'll be condemned. By your words, you'll be justified. So what am I saying? That sometimes your emotions and your feelings trying to get you in a certain direction, but you got to learn how to take authority over your feelings and emotions in the name of Jesus. Come on, give the Lord a big hand clap. Number two. Yeah, that was number one. Number two. God wants you to see beyond your past failures and your mistakes. Do you know that failure is not final? You know that people are going to disappoint you in life. You know that people are going to take advantage of you. You know that people are going to betray you. You know people are going to hurt you. Do you know that it comes with life? Well, Pastor, maybe if God, no, the Bible says that everybody in this world is going to have tribulation. Every single one of us is going to have drama and trauma. Can I get an amen? There's only three kinds of people that get adversity in life. If you do the right thing when it comes to God, you're going to face adversity. If you do the wrong thing when it comes to God, you're going to face adversity. And if you inhale oxygen, you're going to face adversity. But the Bible says that in spite of all that, say, oh, Jesus, if God is for you, who can be against you? Come on, give the Lord a big hand clap. Hey, you got to see beyond the past failures. You got to see beyond disappointment. God is on your side. God believes in you. God stands for you. Pastor, you don't know what I've done. I don't care what you have done. God knows what you have done. And he says, in spite of that, I am with you. And if he's for you, who can be against you? If he's on your side, you're stacked up. Come on, say, I'm stacked up. Come on, 13, everybody say, I'm stacked up. God wants to do something new. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, says, look, I'm about to do something new. Even now, it is coming. Watch this. Do you not see it? Come on, 13, everybody say, do you not see it? Come on, 13, everybody say, do you not see it? Hey, watch this. Hey, let's measure it together. Hey, do you not see it? God wants to do something new. Hey, God wants to do something new in your life. Don't you see it? You say, well, Pastor, hey, you say, man, I'm trying to grow in the things of God. I would like to find out a little bit about my destiny. I got some questions. Hey, God is trying to do something new. Go to the life class.
Don't you see it? It's right on your nose. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, it's right on your nose. It's not under your nose. It's right on your nose. Don't you see it? That God is trying to elevate you. That God is trying to promote you. That God is trying to teach you some things. Hey, go to the life class. Don't you see it? Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, don't you see it? God is trying to do something new in your life. Hear me out. When God steps in, something changes. Oh, no, no. When the Spirit of God comes in, you know, my wife was telling me yesterday, we were talking, started for a little bit, and she says, would you believe that what's the guy's name? Snoop Dogg. Snoop Dogg has a gospel album. You know, we were talking, started. And I said, oh, Snoop Dogg got a gospel album? Okay. Jesus and Jews. No, I'm just kidding. Cheese. Think about this for a moment. Society. Oh, Snoop Dogg. Gospel album. Wait a minute, hold up. When Jesus is in it, there's change. Oh, Pastor, you judging. At least he's doing something. I'm not judging Snoop Dogg. I'm just stating a fact. Anybody can say, Lord. But it's another thing to live a life. Well, at least he's trying. No, I'm here to tell you no. Come on, 13 would say no. It's not about trying. Oh, it amazed me more than him coming up with a gospel album. It amazed me more about the Christians that are listening to it. Hear me out. Because when Jesus comes, there's change. When Jesus steps into your heart and into your life, something is going to change. If there's no change, there's no Jesus. It's as simple as that. When there's no change, there's no what? No Jesus. What, Pastor, you judging him. Well, you just judge me. When Jesus comes, come on, turn to your neighbor and say, can you see it? Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, can you see it? When Jesus comes, something changes. When he steps into your life, something changes. When he steps into your marriage, something changes. When he steps into your home, something changes. Number three, we're almost done. Number three, he wants you to see beauty in ashes. Say, oh, Jesus. I was reading the story of this man that he was given 4 months to live. Incredible story. He was given 4 months to live. The doctor says, you have cancer. You're going to die in 4 months. What? So he goes, and he said every single minute of his life changed. He says, I only have 4 months to live. Things that were important before became more important. Things that were not important became less important. Just imagine. The doctor says, you got 4 months to live. He had all the conversations that he wanted to have in life. He loving all the people that he wanted. Every single minute. He says every single minute of his life changed. Everything changed. And then 3 months into the deal, a guy comes to him and says, maybe you should look for a second opinion. He goes to another doctor. And another doctor says, you have a very rare disease, but you don't have cancer. You're not going to die. The guy starts to cry. He says, he's bawling, crying. And the doctor says, ain't you happy? He says, I am very happy, but I'm afraid that I'm going to become the person I was 4 months ago. Hear me out. He was afraid. You gotta seek every opportunity, man. You gotta seek, you gotta make every day count. You gotta make this life count. You just can't go through the motions. You gotta live for significance. You just can't go through the motions in life. You gotta make every day count. We are here only for a short time. You gotta make it count. You gotta see beauty in ashes. And even though it might look like it's not going in the right direction, you got to see God in it. Number five. Somebody's paying attention. So it's only a test. You got to see the what if instead of the if only. You got to see the what if. What if God comes through for me? What if I get the job? What if I'm successful in the business? What if God restore my marriage? What if God restore my finances? What if God restore my mental health? Watch. The what if is in life. Sometimes we're so attached at the if only. If only I was born in the right family. If only I had a little bit more education. If only I would have finished college. If only I would have remained married. If only I would have just preserved that relationship. The enemy wants me and you to live in the if only, the life of regret. But God says no. What if God is going to restore that relationship? What if I'm going to see my children again? What if I'm going to complete this thing called life? What if God is going to work on my behalf? What if the enemy wants to keep us in the if only, the life of regret? God says, no, I want you to see the what if. The Bible says in the book of Numbers chapter 13, the children of Israel, they're going to the promised land, and God gives them a promise. 12 spies go into the land. 10 of them said, oh, if only we could go back to Egypt. And 2 of them, Joshua and Caleb, said, what if God comes through for us? And guess how many enter into the promised land? 2 of them, Joshua and Caleb. The what if attitude. You know what? What if God is real? What if the word is true? What if I go to that class and it really changed my life forever? What if? That's what God wants you to see. God wants you to see beyond success and step into significance. Sometimes we strive for success in life, and success can be defined many different ways by this society. Some people's success is the fancy house in the right zip code. Success, certain job, certain degree on the wall, status in society. Look at me. But God wants me and you to live a life of significance. We were in Hawaii last week. Me and a couple of the guys, we went to a training in Hawaii. And one of the speakers, Bishop Oriel, he has a church in the Philippines, like 20,000 people in his church. Last year they did a conference. They had 200,000 people at one place. One time. This year they're going to do, their goal is to do 300,000 people. And he was speaking about living a life of significance, because success is only for the season. It's temporary. But significance is for the lifetime. I'm almost done. Sometimes people, when it comes to church ministry, about a dollar for every time I hear that, I will have 2 Bentleys. My family, Pastor, I got a family. They have sacrificed ministry at the altar of the family. But our calling is bigger than your family. Did you know that? You have a calling, purpose, and assignment of God inside of you. And so does your children. So you got to live a life of significance that you mark them, because there's a calling inside of them. It's not either or. This is all combined together. You have been called to live a life of significance and to plant a seed, the life of your children, that will last forever. Establish a legacy. The world belongs to dreamers. If you can see it, you will have it. You bow your heads and close your eyes. Every head bow, every eye closed. No one is looking around. If you're here today, you never opened your heart to Jesus Christ, I assume.